We're here with our old friend, Chris Higginbotham, reminding you that if you're listening to the podcast today, April 15th, there's something going on that you should know about.
At Cal at 3 p.m. on Telegraph and Bancroft, we're having a huge rally with 5,000 people for the Fight for 15, for fast food workers, healthcare workers, adjunct professors, and many more low-wage workers. Please come out, support. It's going to be really good.
Don't be a douchebag. Support labor. Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And you, Maysoon Wazwaz. Sorry. And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Is a listener now, Maysoon Wazwaz? That's like an enchantment.
The voice you're now hearing is actually your voice.
Maysoon recently informed me that it's now okay for us to say Twitter on the podcast. Do you stand by that, Maysoon?
Yeah, but I still think we should bleep it. Like we do with Bleep Book.
Oh my god. I haven't been bleeping anything for many, many episodes.
Really? What's wrong with you? You're like, I edit for 5 fucking hours? That's what's wrong with me?
Anyhow, Maysoon sent me a video this last week by these French dudes.
French
I'm
guys.
Assuming they're dudes.
It sounded
about
like it.
Twitter,
the voice was a dude.
How Twitter turns you into a bird riding zombie.
Comme l'oiseau de Twitter, on est bleu de lui seulement pour 48 heures. D'abord on s'affilie, ensuite on se follow. On en devient fêlé et on finit solo. Regarde à toi et à tous ceux qui vous like. Les sourires en plastique sont souvent des coups d'hashtag.
Go on. Let's just pick it right back up from there.
It's a video that my sister-in-law actually sent me. She really likes this group and their videos that they make. I forgot. It's all in French. I don't remember anything
about it. Yeah, I think the words are probably a lot more effective in the original French because translated, they're kind of like, I don't know
if I
follow this.
Well, but I also think the visuals are kind of interesting, don't you?
Oh, yeah. No, I thought the animation was great. But gotta say, don't think Twitter turns you into a zombie. I don't think any of my actual personal relationships have been damaged by my Twitter at all. People who use Twitter, go ahead and
edit
tweet us
whatever you want.
And let us know if Twitter is affecting your life in a negative or a positive way.
Listen, we're going to go ahead and post that French music video.
Oh, we are?
Oh, well, why are we talking about it?
I don't know. Okay, we'll post it down in the underworld. Well, I went to Johnny Hershey's talk at SFAI on Friday. I got my whole MFA class together, except for a lot of them. There were only 4 of us. And we went and saw John Hershen's talk, and it was pretty damn great. And it was probably my least scary experience at SFAI.
Whoa.
They're like scary catty art students.
They are.
You said that. Can't take it back now.
You said it too.
I've said it more than once. Remember, I always say, like, that's the only place that I've seen a lecturer get heckled.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I don't even pay attention. You're not getting heckled. What do you care for?
Oh, God, okay. Maysoon, are you serious? Like, if weird, awkward shit like that is happening around me, I want to jump out of my skin and run like a skeleton. You know what I mean?
Run, yeah.
I feel like personally responsible for it. There were people on the bus this morning behind me having a weird conversation, and I was like, oh, should I get off a stop early?
Oh, no.
Well, anyhow, Johnny Hershey.
Does he know you call him that?
I don't know. Bless his heart. He gave a really good talk that nobody could have a problem with because it was so funny and he's so
was it hysterical?
Charismatic and charming.
Oh, my God.
And I really like his work quite a bit. I didn't know he was in the fucking 2014 Whitney Biennial.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit. Well, I feel bad for talking shit about it.
Did John talk about his preference for where to show film, whether it be in a museum or gallery or through festivals?
No. Did he talk about that at Mills?
There was the Mills conversation. I wish I had my notes because there are some great, great quotes from him. There was a question, I think, in the audience that was like, that was sort of talking about the difference or asking him about the difference between showing in a gallery and showing in a festival situation. And he definitely made it clear that he much more, he preferred festival situations much like well over museum and gallery situations. And I think he just felt like the audience is more willing to kind of get rowdy and really laugh out loud and get crazy. And it's
and
a much more
pay attention to the entire
pay attention.
Video.
It's a much more like vibrant, I think, way for him to have his films be seen.
Yeah. Plus you can be there. Like you're kind of also watching and
yeah.
In my own experience.
I mean, that's the fun thing about watching a movie in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Is that you have like all of these other people around you responding and reacting that will inevitably inform or influence the way you're responding and reacting, yeah. Which I think is really actually fun.
Yeah.
But it also made me kind of sad that galleries and museums are so fucking uptight and annoying. I was like, oh no,
well,
I hate that John
Hirschman
doesn't
think,
want to show at a
suit.
Museum or gallery.
I've been thinking about this a lot. Well, he still will.
No, I know, but just like it. It just made it really clear, like, oh yeah, at a museum you're supposed to act a certain way and not express a lot of emotion. You're supposed to keep it all kind of like very composed, right?
Yeah.
And that's just fucking boring and lame. Like, why should we be responding to art that's good that way? You know, why can't we jump up and down and scream with joy?
I always do.
In front of any kind of work we love. It's like, I love this thing! You know, like, wouldn't that be so awesome?
Oh, I don't know. If they were really yelling, I'd probably feel real uncomfortable.
Well, you know, just like expressing like real enthusiasm, I guess. You know, I feel like all of that is very not with everyone in every place, but it's not a new thing to talk about how uptight the art scene can be. You know, that's certainly not anything.
Well, but I think it's not just being uptight. I think it's like how videos play on loops in galleries. So you're not like, especially like his videos build and like have a narrative. So I think you can't just jump in the middle of that and like really get what's going on. So this is my pitch to you, Mamie. Mm-hmm. I think you need every video to have a little restart button that the viewer can press when they sit down, hit the restart, and you watch it from the beginning. How can you set that up?
I feel like we just need a remote control then, and like just, but people might not necessarily press it as a thing.
Well, I think we shouldn't have a remote. We just need a red button that says restart.
What if there's a button when you're going in, if it's like a dark room, a dark screening room, there's a button that on the outside when you're going in where you press like,
yeah,
like an old, like this old science exhibit where those red buttons light up the different elements of the underworld, undersea.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Don't you remember?
I was right there with you until the undersea. But yeah, no, I think we're on the same page.
That'd
a really
kind of cool.
Easy. That's
got
to be easy. Get Jess Wheelock to pop that in because she could do anything with a video.
Is she the one who did that?
The fire thing and all that.
Did you see that show?
Sure did. Loved it.
I wonder if Johnny Hirschman saw that show. I feel like
Johnny
Hirschman,
get over there.
John Hirschman, go see that show at Royal Nunsuch. It's so good.
If it's still up, it's got to be in its last days. Anyhow, while I was at SFAI for that lecture.
Any other pieces of insight from Johnny Hirschman? God, I can't feel, I feel embarrassed that we're saying this online. Or
we said it last week or when we did the ramble.
John Hirschman, we love you. I'm sorry if it's too informal.
All we're saying is good shit about you, John Hirschman.
Stop freaking out about Johnny Hirschman.
Chill out. Anyhow, great talk. Good job. Anyhow, after the John Hirschman lecture, I went ahead and saw that Doug Hall show.
I really want to see that show. Whoa. This is turning
You're possessed.
This is turning into a bit of a musical, everyone. Let's do
I still want to do the art review with the VUE at the end. It's a musical variety
We're
show.
We're going to have to write a script for that one and get a few other characters
We're gonna
on
have
here.
We're going to have to have a Kickstarter.
No.
I want it to be full-blown staged with a
national
tour.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. You want to take this on stage to the stage?
Well, we could go to the Hammer Museum, like hit up all the alternative funny.
You're gonna have to
not
find
that
it.
The
you're
Hammer Museum's alternative, but it's alternative.
We could
to
go
LACMA.
To the Walker. I love the Walker.
Sure, well, the Wexner Center. We could hit up all the sweet little contemporary art spots across the Midwest.
Yeah.
All right, think about it, people. We got to get you in on this.
You might need to find an actor for me.
We got to branch out. You know, start talking to a lot more performance and drag artists and stuff. That's who needs to be in this.
Yeah.
Okay, anyhow, after the John Hirschman lecture, went over to the Doug Hall show over there in SFAI's little gallery. Do they have a name for that little gallery?
Yes. Don't call it a little gallery.
You know, I just wanted to see the fucking lightning from the Tesla coil.
Yeah.
That's my whole reason for living. And we kept talking to the gallery sitters, being like, dude, did it happen? Is it going to happen? When does it happen? They're like, you just missed it. It's 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
And it only happens for a little bit. But
why is it? Okay, go ahead.
You go in and this fan will start right before it happens. There's this fan that goes off. And then, so the fan comes on. So I was expecting it because I talked to the gallery sitter, but we had a few people around us who didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And so they're just like chit-chatting, like taking pictures with their phone or like checking their phone and stuff. And then fucking when the lightning starts, it's loud as fuck.
Ooh.
And even though I knew it was coming, I jumped like 9,000 feet in the air. And so that was pretty funny. And then just the lightning blasts a few times and hits these giant metal chairs that are sitting in front of the Tesla coil.
Oh, wow.
And then you got a bunch of videos going of like weather and volcanoes and crazy like natural disaster kind of stuff. I was thinking the lightning was going to be a little bit more impressive than it was.
Really?
It was not as impressive as actual lightning.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it was controlled.
You're also like in the same room with it. I mean, that's kind of intense, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be interested to see hear what your take is on it, because you might have a different take on it than me. Don't you see me standing over here? Where do we go? You're not going to believe this, but we're in an artist studio again, and we're talking to, for now, Oakland-based artist Amanda Carreri.
Hi.
Hello.
We're in my studio, right? And there's lots of different things in here. I'm looking at a wall of paintings, but a lot of this stuff is going towards a show that's still in the development stages called Calm Lunatics. Named after a quote by Emily Dickinson that, how does it go? Emily Dickinson, in a letter to, I think her cousin, wrote this really wild quote that was, if we had even the slightest idea of the meaning of life, we'd all be lunatics. And, so I'm trying to make this body of work that has the energy of sort of that verges on anxiety and crazy, but that also has a calmness and like a long sense of vision. Somebody like Emily Dickinson, right? Like an inner subjectivity where she related to plants and people, but really was just sort of a reclusive person in her room or in her town, but then made this work that expands through space and time. So that's the gist of the work. But then I'm trying to also smush in like popular resistance movements. So this wall has a lot of research about anarchy and sort of like disobedient characters in history. Mm-hmm. So
Edward Snowden's up there. Yeah. We see him.
These are all quote cards from a performance at Yerba Buena that was called Blue Flowers. And you guys know what blue flowers means in Dutch?
I don't.
It means lies.
Oh. Oh, shit.
What? So
how do you say it in Dutch or?
Blauw. I might say it wrong, but blauw bluempies. It's sort of like a turn of phrase. You'd be like, oh, those are all nothing but blue flowers.
Cool.
So I needed some way to like a handle to like get people to engage with me. So I just called it lies, and I was handing people blue dyed flowers for them to read these quotes with me mm-hmm. on audio.
I like that you gave them blue dyed flowers because those are definitely lies.
Yes.
That's the biggest lie ever. Well, not the biggest, but.
Well, I could have had some contentious debates with people about there are no blue flowers, and then someone else said, oh, the so and so is a blue flower, but supposedly there are no real blue flowers. But that's kind of besides the point, because it was a way to have a conversation like we just did about truth and fiction and people sort of standing in what they think is real. I was basically soliciting them to read the quotes on the cards for me to record. So I was doing to them what you're doing to me with a mic in their face. And so, yeah, like the Matisse one and who else? The Edward Snowden one got read a lot.
Who's Lucy Parsons? We'll read the quote. We're kind of doing the piece a little. Are we?
Yes. Kind of.
Okay. Never be deceived that the rich will permit you to vote away their wealth. Anarchists know that a long period of education must precede any great fundamental change in society. Hence, they do not believe in vote begging nor political campaigns, but rather in the development of self-thinking individuals. Lucy Parsons. Lucy Parsons, Freedom and Equality and Solidarity, Writings and Speeches, 1878 to 1937. She's an anarchist.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the, like, sort of early leading ones in the U.S. sort of helped get the our weekend that
yeah,
we have.
Thank
yeah.
Thank you, Lucy. Do you love
I'm
now?
So mad that I didn't know that.
No, this is the fun thing about this is, like, some of these people are near and dear to me. Some of them are brand new to me. And then it's really cool to share them. And then I learn about other people's people. And we keep them alive or we get to keep doing what we do because we realize people actually live their lives doing these radical, amazing things. Because sometimes I forget that. And I'm like, oh, like, how the fuck do I keep being an artist today? Am I said that word, but that's okay.
Artist?
Awesome.
No. Artist is not a bad word, Kate.
Did you swear? Oh.
We swear,
we swear all the time.
Okay. We swear so much that we good. Don't even, like, she
can't
even hear
me. I didn't even notice.
You said artist?
I thought that was amazing.
Oh, I'm glad we had that on tape.
Nobody had read Chelsea Manning yet. And I was like, And this former military guy came up and he had, like, American tattoos in his arms and a big USA flag on there. And, he went for it because it's about duty and service, the quote. But then we had this conversation where he processed and sort of broke down the reversal of where the quote was coming from. So it says, when I chose to disclose classified information in 2010, I did so out of a love for my country and a sense of duty to others. I'm now serving a sentence of 35 years in prison for these unauthorized disclosures. I understand that my actions violated the law. Chelsea Manning, The Fog of War. So he related to it?
Yeah. So he understood the sort of, like, the difficulty of making that decision and going against going against your superiors or whatever within the military. Or
yeah. And just, we talked about the conflict of, I almost don't want to put words into his mouth, but him having allegiances to his co-soldiers, but then also having problems with the authority experience that he had had. I'm not talking about Chelsea, but about this guy. Mm-hmm. So he had some identification with the idea of changing the military or breaking it down. But then also there was just a wall about duty and responsibilities.
Yeah.
So sort of, that was the most challenging in, like, a deep, deep way in terms of the interactions with people.
How did you, like, what was your reaction? Like, how did you handle that?
How did I handle that? I kind of go into these just really open and hoping to get a range of people with different life experiences. And that's why that space was so exciting, because it wasn't just an alternative gallery space where there's, like, a cross section of similarity. So they had come up as a family from San Diego, and they were looking around. And
heavy military town there, yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, I'm so supportive of Chelsea Manning, but then you can feel the conflict of breaking your structures of trust, right? And it's not an easy black or white type of thing. So, yeah. And this is sort of following me through my art life. It's very much part of my personal life, but I was partnered with someone in the military who was in the military for 5 years. So I've sort of lived this experience, not personally, but as the partner of someone.
Yeah.
So sort of we were idealistic anarchists going into it. And we learned a lot about stereotypes and not being able to break everything. I have sort of personal connection too. So I like having this conversation with people that are from that, like just not the creative liberal side of it.
Right.
But maybe not just all, sometimes my family members, I don't want to have the conversation with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got an uncle who is like married to Rush Limbaugh.
Right. Right. And so that's just not a productive, fun conversation to go banging your head up against somebody that's doesn't yeah. think you stand on the same ground. Right. So, yeah.
Especially in your family where you're like, I know I can't cross a certain line with this person because it's going to really upset my mom.
And then that's, I'm really interested in, like, how do you find that space between two people to have, like, a fun or productive argument?
Yeah.
And if you don't have the same, like, game plan, sometimes it's never going to work.
Yeah.
Like, that idea of agonism, like, antagonism, yeah. you're pounding on each other. But agonism is, like, the idea of having the same playing field. Like, you're both on purple. Okay, we're both standing on purple. So at least we agree on that. And then we can, like, go at it.
Well, we should probably mention that you're moving to Ohio.
It's true.
I'm from there, as you know.
I'm excited about that.
You're going to be teaching. You got a tenure track position.
Living the dream.
University of Cincinnati.
So how's that been like? Because, you know, we got all the people leaving and whatnot.
Yeah.
I have been moonlighting, teaching here for a number of years and doing arts programming and doing my practice. And I think the goal is to not be a schmuck. And I feel like I am just being a schmuck. Like if part of my art practice is about doing things differently, making good things happen in the world, this might be part of that. Like finding out if living in another part of the country is more sustainable, and if there's work for me to sort of contribute to teaching today in terms inside an institution. So I will report back on that in maybe a year to a few years. I learned the word purple. I didn't know this. I mean, I love purple, but I mean, this is maybe revealing slight political ignorance, but I guess it's a purple state.
Swing state, Ohio.
Purple thing.
Not to name names, but someone I know kept their Ohio votership after they left the state for a little bit so they could vote in a presidential election still in Ohio.
I bet you people do that. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good work.
That's some good work right there.
Federal crime.
Crimes are necessary sometimes.
That's right.
Are you going to register to vote as soon as you get there?
I guess probably that's part of it, huh? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a big deal, the swing state.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Deal.
We're out here on the West Coast just throwing our votes in the garbage. Is there anything else you'd like listeners to know? Or messages to the past and future? Mainly the future. We can't access the past. Through a podcast, at least.
On that.
You think we can project this podcast into the past?
Maybe we should do a show about trying to access the past.
I like that idea. We're blowing minds. Accessing the past through podcast.
I have to think about it a little bit.
Podcast!
Oh, God damn it.
And you can't go into the future because this is going to go outdated, like the format. Right, podcast.
No, come on now. We still listen to vinyl records.
Congratulations.
And thank you so much for allowing two fully nuts people into your personal space.
It was nice to hang out with you guys. We should do it again. Yeah.
Not thank the podcast you. Part, though. Then you gave me sorrow, just like the way I knew.
So, Mamie.
Kate went to the prototyping festival this weekend. Unfortunately, it's not happening on Sunday for some reason.
Well, I can't imagine they got it all down already.
Well, they needed it cleared up by Monday? By the Monday morning commute?
Weird. Anyhow, so the Market Street Prototyping Festival happened. It was a lot of like outdoor art and design kind of installation projects. We went to the pitch thing, the little get together to kind of explain what it was and how to apply to do it if you're an artist or a designer or an architect or whatever. And I found it a little troubling when we went. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, because some of the people presenting, you know, they broke it down by sections of Market Street. So there's like Embarcadero, like Mid Market, Financial District,
Civic Center, all
this stuff. And like a lot of the people presenting were like, P.S., we have lots of homeless people here. So think about that when you're making your thing. Like, and I know one person, and I can't remember which section they were representing, but they were like, this is what we're dealing with. And they showed like a homeless person sleeping outside of like a flower stand. Uh-huh. And it's like, you're not fucking dealing with that. Yeah. The person sleeping outside is dealing with that.
Yeah.
And that really irritated the shit out of me. And it was just kind of like, what is the point of this, man? Like, what are you trying to do? Like, what are you trying to do to Market Street? Like, are you just trying to like clean it up and make it nicer for the people that might be moving into the new high rises you're building around there? Like, yada, yada, yada. Anyhow. So
I think that's definitely an appropriate concern to have.
So I had all this like built in, like, you know, bleeding
angst,
heart,
liberal anxiety.
Bullshit going into it. So I was ready to hate everything. But, you know, I went there yesterday. I only got to see a handful of projects because I had to run back to Mills, and I didn't hate them that much. I was surprised.
I didn't think you would. I was really excited to go see them.
So anyhow, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Cool.
It was pretty Burning Man. A lot of the stuff was very burnery.
That's kind of to be expected. I mean, I think a lot of
public art kind of goes that way.
I mean, I think there's like definitely a big crossover. Just even as someone who's been on like an Arts Commission grants panel review, oftentimes a lot of the things that you're looking at would be things that you'd see at Burning Man. Not that I've been to Burning Man, but things that you would have heard about.
Like
being
light up trees.
Yeah, totally.
It's all about trees and light and like writing notes on things and tying the notes to things.
It's a community, you know, like bringing people together.
Well, not
in some
just
way.
That, but kind of the aesthetic is a very specific aesthetic.
Yeah.
Kind of like slapped together kind of.
It's a little sloppier looking, maybe a little less like finished, less design-y.
Not design-y. Yeah.
You know.
So then there was some design-y stuff.
Yeah, but I do think that stuff does draw people. Like, I think people are still kind of, like, interested. It's a lot of it is very participatory. I mean, that's all.
Make a big, shiny, silver light-up thing, and people got to notice. But that stuff I wasn't so interested in. But there were a lot of things that, like, little kids could play on. Like, there was, like, kind of a jungle gym dome and a bench that, like, spun around like a merry-go-round.
I like the bench because I think that could be for kids and adults. The jungle gym dome, I'm probably not going to go play on.
Right. There were a few other things. I think my favorite thing of all of it, though, was the, like, Youth Speaks, like, graffiti art wall thing where they just basically made, like, a temporary wall where kids could come and like draw on it with chalk or spray paint it. And I don't know, that's already happening in the city. You don't need to put an extra wall up for that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my question around that is it's cool that there are a lot of kids prototypes down there, but I don't think of downtown as like a kid's place.
Okay. Well, here's the other
chapter. I could be totally wrong.
Chapter.
I'm just so curious about that though. As far as like, I know some of these prototypes, there are going to be some selected to be permanent in the city, right?
I mean, that's kind of what they were saying.
I think
saying.
That was the sort of the point. Like, here's an example of what might happen. And if maybe three of the 50 that were chosen for this festival would actually be implemented as permanent installations on Market Street.
Well, here's the other chapter of the story for me was that I talked to a friend of mine who works at the Exploratorium, who was like one of the sponsors or something of this whole thing. And they said that the city is thinking about closing down that stretch of Market Street from the Embarcadero to Civic Center or whatever.
And just leave it open to like...
And turn it into a park, basically. Not in any... She was saying not in like the next 5 or so years, but like maybe 5 to 10 down the road.
But will they keep like the muni
the
that goes through?
Stuff?
I mean, I think they should, like, the ones that's actually on a track.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that should stay. Obviously, Bart will stay there. It's underground.
Yeah.
But I think in general, they've been moving in that direction. I mean, the bike lanes, there's all these lanes down Market Street that kind of force you to turn off of Market Street. Like, you cannot go any further.
Yeah.
I got a ticket for going further. Uh-oh, so it's like, maybe. I know for sure that they've been changing it so that it's really less, you know, drivers on Market. Although, you know, there's definitely lanes that are specific to bus and taxi. So it's been more about, like, public transportation getting through and less of, like, a private individual getting through.
Well, what do you think about that, San Franciscan?
Oh, I love it. But I'm not a big driver. So it's sort of like, but I think driving downtown is crazy anyhow. It's just like, where are you going to park downtown, people? People. I guess you can park in a garage, but you can also go down a different street, Mission or...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think...
Any other street, which I'd probably take any other street than Market anyhow, because Market's such a... There's so... I mean, it's like there's the buses, there's the taxis, there's the bicyclists everywhere. It's kind of a nightmare to drive down anyhow. You're like, there's too much going on. There's tons of pedestrians.
Yeah.
I'm all for it being closed down.
Congratulations. You listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree. We did it. You did it. You made it.
Good work.
Good work.
Way to go.
And we're excited for next week. We got another interview. We're interviewing like
crazy.
Like, our lives depend on it. So having a year out for that. So good.